You're listening to the Simply Lived In podcast, episode number 16. Today we get to talk with Shannon Lohr. And let me tell you guys, I wish I had a pen with me while we were recording this episode because Shannon said so many quotable things that I wanted to write down. Shannon has been a role model for me on how to lead a responsible lifestyle for quite a while now. So I'm so excited to finally be able to talk with her about it and to share it all with you. In this episode, Shannon talks about affording ethical fashion, knowing if a brand is actually ethical, and moving forward no matter what.
You're listening to the Simply Lived In podcast, where we understand that needing less helps us to be so much more. Entrepreneur and sustainability advocate, Meg Ross, will help you to break down how to create more space in your life. Get ready to hear from strong women who are redefining what living well looks like. If you've dreamed of being present, cutting the clutter, and putting an end to the busyness, this is the place to be. Here's your host, designer, motivator, and simplicity enthusiast, Meg Ross.
Hi, Simply listeners. Today we are talking with Shannon Lohr. Shannon is a woman who seriously kicks some booty. After co-founding a sustainable clothing brand, she saw a need for an accelerator program for sustainable fashion brands. So she launched Factory 45 to do just that. She recently decided to take on the fashion scene that clutters Instagram by integrating more sustainable and ethical fashion onto her account. She is a mompreneur who still makes time to live an ethical and sustainable lifestyle, and she shares how others can do so too. I can't wait to hear more from her. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Shannon.
Thanks, Meg.
So to get started, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and what your path was to starting Factory 45?
Yes. I'll try to give the Cliff Notes version because it's been a long journey. I started a sustainable fashion brand in 2010. I didn't know at the time that it was going to be a sustainable fashion brand. I knew nothing about the fashion industry. I definitely didn't know anything about sustainable fashion. But as I sort of set out to start this company with my co-founder, we were doing research, we were exploring this industry we knew nothing about, and we realized what a dirty, dirty industry fashion is. It's one of the number one polluters of the planet. Everything from dyeing to the labor, can be a humanitarian crisis in some ways, which we'll get into more. But we realized that if we were going to start something, we wanted to start a company that didn't harm the planet or the people in it. And so we set out to start a sustainable fashion brand. We ended up launching the highest funded fashion project in Kickstarter history at the time. But it took us a year and a half to do that. And it was so hard to get our foot in the door with manufacturers, with suppliers. We really didn't know how to talk the talk or walk the walk. And fast forward to launching and being featured in the New York Times and quadrupling our first production run. It was this amazing experience. But we realized we wanted to pursue other projects. We were totally burnt out, and we really wanted to move on to do other things. And so I started consulting for a year, and then I ended up launching Factory 45, realizing that it should be easier to manufacture in the United States. It should be easier to find sustainable materials. And I had all of this knowledge and these connections, and I wanted to help new designers make it easier for them to start their own brands.
That is so great. Yes. And I have mentioned this before, but I actually did your program and we'll link that in the show notes, but it is such an amazing resource for people who are wanting to start their own ethical clothing label. So I think you're doing some really great work there. But where did you start? You're welcome. Where did you start in your own ethical fashion journey? So really, what was the catalyst for you that made you decide to start making some changes within your own wardrobe?
So it definitely started when I was starting my own brand. In college and in high school, I was a fast fashion bargain bin junkie. Like, I was known for buying a dress once at Forever 21, wearing it for one night, and then never wearing it again. I say there's no one who is worse than me. So if I can change my wardrobe than anyone can. But really, it just came from learning about the industry, and knowledge is power. And so as I learned what the damaging effects are of the fashion industry, I realized that I not only wanted to start my own brand, but I also wanted to be a part of the solution just with my own individual wardrobe choices.
That is so great. What pieces did you start with for yourself? Did you have a total closet overhaul, or was it more of a slow build with incorporating new pieces?
It was definitely a slow build, especially because in the beginning I was broke. I was starting my own company. I was like bartending five nights a week, and I was putting all of the money into, you know, living and then trying to start this company. So I didn't have any money, which meant buying secondhand. And there's nothing more sustainable than keeping old clothing out of landfills. So for everyone who says, you know, oh, well, I'd love to buy sustainable fashion, but I can't afford it. You can afford, anyone can afford secondhand. And from there, I just, you know, as I had, over the years, as I got more disposable income, I started to invest in sustainable fashion brands that had a higher price point.
I love that. And I think that's so true. And a big excuse that I hear from people too, like, oh, it's too expensive, I can't afford it. But like you said, secondhand is probably cheaper than a lot of things that they're buying anyways. And it's the most sustainable way that they can shop, which is so great.
Exactly.
Where do you find the most challenges when you're shopping ethically?
I think my challenges are the same for everyone. And that's, you know, knowing if a brand is actually an ethical brand or if it's just greenwashing. Unfortunately, that's something that's can be prevalent in the industry. And so it puts the work on the consumer that they need to do the research and ask the questions. But usually, you know, I say if a brand is ethical, if they have used sustainable fabrics, if they pay their workers well, they're going to put that on their website. They're going to have that on their about page. They're going to talk about it because they're proud of it. And if they don't, then that's a sign that you'll want to ask more questions and, you know, sort of be careful about the purchase.
I love that. And something that you always say, which I think is so true, is that there's no one way to create a sustainable garment. Like, there's no one perfectly sustainable way to do it. And so if companies are just being transparent and putting their information out there, then that is a good way to know that they're trying and that they really believe in what they're doing. And so I think that that's a great, great way to start, like just on the website, looking for some information.
For sure. I say there's no such thing as perfectly sustainable, and any brand that tells you they are 100% perfectly sustainable is probably up to something, because if you're making something new, it requires energy. It puts, you know, there is an impact. So yeah, that's a good point to bring up.
Yeah. And so as far as like looking for ethical clothing, do you have any specific requirements of what you look for? Like, do you need it to be a certain fiber content or a country of origin, or are there any specifics that you need to look for?
So, I mean, for me, I avoid polyester unless it's recycled. It's, you know, polyester or most synthetic fabrics are petroleum based. They take, you know, 200 years to decompose in landfills. So I try to stick to natural fibers. I try to stick with small brands that I personally know or have been introduced to by someone I trust. And just, you know, like also part of it is just thinking very carefully about the purchase, like not making impulse purchases and sort of having a requirement upon yourself that, you know, if you can't stop thinking about the garment, then consider the purchase, but don't make impulse purchases. I think that's a good rule for anyone.
Yes, I agree with that so much. My new rule for myself is like I make a list and then I keep coming back to a fit. And yes, if it's still on my list, you know, after a couple of weeks or months, then I know that that's something that I really want and I will probably use.
Totally. I do the same thing. I'll make lists also like, okay, I need black pants, or like I really want like a white turtleneck for the winter or something like that. And I'll make a list. And then I know if I do go into a secondhand shop or I'm shopping online, like I don't sort of stray from the list. They're always garments that I need.
Yes. And that way too, you know, you might be willing to pay a little bit more money for it. Not that you need to, but if it's something that you know you really want, I feel like the investment is more justified somehow.
Oh, for sure. And now, you know, I still do shop secondhand, but now I'm definitely investing more in, you know, less pieces that were made really, really well. And I'm lucky to be able to do, you know, have the disposable income to do that. But I think, you know, it's all about just sort of having a plan, not just haphazardly, you know, impulse shopping, and just, you know, baby steps.
Exactly. Can you explain a little bit more about the Made in the USA movement and why it might be a little bit more or a little bit different than what people just hear about on the news right now?
Sure, yeah. So the Made in the USA movement is about localization and transparency. That's my definition of it. It's unfortunate that our current political climate has contorted that, but really it just means supporting your local community and the companies that work with factories that pay their workers a livable wage. Just because something is made in the USA does not mean it wasn't made in a sweatshop. We do have sweatshops here in the States, but keeping things domestic does make it easier to find out, to ask questions. It's all about localization and supporting your local community.
Exactly. Yeah, I love that so much. And yeah, just creating, you know, buying pieces locally really does kind of create a sense of community. I feel like that's such kind of like a buzzword that I didn't connect with very much, like build community, you know, but you really do get to know the makers and support. And it's kind of it becomes more than just a product, you know, it becomes a way of life kind of.
Yeah, it becomes a story.
So now that you are a new mom, have you had to adjust your ethical shopping habits at all?
I still definitely shop ethically for baby clothes. Most of it is actually hand-me-downs from my nephew who's 5. So that's been great. I just get like bins of boys' clothes every few months, which is really, really good. And then I use obviously secondhand shops, local ones that are here in where I live, but also there's a it's a secondhand marketplace called Kidizen for kids. And that's been great too. And then I do purchase some sustainable clothing brands for kids that I personally know.
That's so great. Yeah, I think obviously secondhand is a great way for kids' clothes too, because everyone's like, well, why would I spend money on my kids? Because they'll just grow right out of their clothes.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I'm like, yeah, there's no need to buy anything new.
So besides your clothing, what other products in your life do you try to be more mindful about?
Basically everything. I feel like it opens, for better or for worse, learning about sustainable fashion opens Pandora's box. I think it is for better. But you start to think of everything. Like I'm a vegetarian now. You know, if you had told me 10, 15 years ago that I would be a vegetarian, I would have told you, you're out of your mind. I loved pulled pork sandwiches, Hawaiian pizzas, and now I've been a vegetarian for 10 years. I buy primarily organic food. I think everything, if there's a better option, I try to do it, whether that's recycled toilet paper or toilet paper that's like not my, this just is one thing that I've done recently. It's called Who Gives a Crap. It's a toilet paper company, and it's toilet paper not made from trees. So just things like that. It just opens sort of this world, and I'm constantly learning.
Oh, I love that. I have not heard about that toilet paper company, but I'll definitely have to check it out. That's something that I agree with too, what you said is kind of, you know, once you start one thing and dig into sustainable fashion and learning about the injustices there, it kind of just spirals. And yeah, going zero waste and trying to do all these other things in your lifestyle is something that, and I talk about this a lot because I find it so overwhelming, you know, and I, instead of celebrating my small victories, sometimes I get consumed with like feeling like I'm not doing enough or thinking about all the other things that I should be doing to be, you know, a more ethical consumer, air quotes.
Right.
But, So what do you do to like avoid that overwhelm?
Just knowing like in a year, I just know that like in a year, I'm going to look back and be like, oh, I can't believe I was shopping that way. Or like, it's always going to be changing. You're always going to be evolving. And that's a good thing because that means that you are constantly learning and that you're open-minded and, you know, nothing's ever going to be perfect. You can always be doing something better and just giving yourself the grace to make mistakes. You know, there are brands that I have purchased from before who I thought were, you know, were great, so ethical, so blah, 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 blah. But, and then to find out that they're actually not a good company and where my money was actually going. So, you know, just be forgiving and do the best you can.
Yes. I love that. That's, I'm going to like write that on my wall. Forgiveness. It's good.
Totally.
Something else that I just love so much about you is how you're able to identify places in our society where we could be doing better and then actually taking action on that. And I think that's so cool. And I'm just wondering, how have you respected the process of figuring out your thing and what you're good at and following your intuition to get you to where you are today?
Such a good question. Because it's hard because I sort of fell into it. Like I had I didn't have a fashion background. I would have never thought that I would be in this industry. Once these doors opened and I started to explore, I just sort of kept going where I feel like a lot of times what happens is people, you know, it's like one obstacle comes up. And so they immediately retreat and they don't keep pushing forward because either like fear gets in the way or procrastination or just, you know, uncertainty. And my philosophy, I think in life is just always to keep moving forward. I'm never going to know if I'm moving forward towards the right thing, like the absolute right thing. There can always be another path to follow that may be better, you know, whatever it may be, but just knowing like, move forward, try not to question yourself, and things are gonna work out because it's gonna, no matter what, that path is gonna take you somewhere you aren't currently standing. Knowing that, like, just to trust your gut, trust your intuition.
Ah, I love that. That is so good and so true. How do you find balance or attempt to find balance being a mompreneur, which I think it's so funny too. I heard you say in one of your blogs or something that you used to not like the word mompreneur because you like thought it was cheesy.
Yeah.
And now that you are a mompreneur, you're like, no, it's so real. Like that is life now. But how do you balance that and also stay true to yourself and your ethical, sustainable lifestyle and making time for that?
Yeah. So I used to, whenever people said mompreneur, I like thought it was condescending, but now I just feel it's like a badge of honor because it really is some, you know, like whether it's the exhaustion or just feeling like you have such less time to do all the things that you wanted to, you know, want to do. But I think that now the way I balance it is knowing that because I now have my son, I'm doing this, which is living an ethical and sustainable lifestyle, for someone else who I love so much, and I want the planet to be a beautiful and healthy place for him to live. So beyond just like my own career ambitions, or even beyond like wanting to help as many entrepreneurs and designers as I can, I want this conversation to continue. I want people talking about how to live a more ethical and sustainable lifestyle so that the planet stays, you know, the beautiful place that we live.
I love that. Yeah, kind of like being a mom makes it all the more important, which I don't know why I hadn't put it into that perspective before, but it makes so much sense. It like reaffirms everything you've been working towards already, I guess.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I think it's important to still do things for yourself and for the original reasons you set out, you know, but also it's nice to have sort of like this other purpose, especially on the days where it doesn't seem so easy.
Yes, I agree so much. What do you think is the most important thing for our listeners to know about fast fashion?
I'd say just go watch the True Cost documentary. It lays it all out. It's easy. You know, everyone is watches Netflix. So just go search True Cost documentary and watch it.
Yeah, I agree. And I appreciate like that answer, I guess, because I'm the same way. Like, I feel like, you know, the facts are out there and I could, you know, write a blog about how horrible the fashion industry is. But personally, I think I'm better at talking about how we can change it and make it better, because there's already so many great resources, well, like the True Cost, and honestly, there could be more about how bad the industry is. But I just feel like my place personally is helping people, giving people resources to try to make it better.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's hard because you don't want, like, you don't want to always be talking about the negative, right? And like, you don't want to place a blame game. You don't want to do the whole guilt trip thing. But I think, again, knowledge is power, and everyone just needs like that catalyst, like that one thing. Like for me, it was reading Lucy Siegel's book, To Die For: Is Fashion Wearing Out the World? Like that was like the first thing that opened my mind. And so I think the True Cost is just so applicable because, again, everyone's like dying for more documentaries and movies and content. So that's the one that I would say is like an easy thing to just sort of put your foot in.
Yes, I agree so much. What are you working on right now that you are the most excited about?
So I am launching as you know already, Meg, but for everyone else, I'm launching an ethical fashion marketplace called Market 45. It will launch for holiday season 2018 in the beginning of November. And it will be an online marketplace where you can shop sustainable and ethical fashion all in one place. And it will feature 20 invite-only brands that have launched through the Factory 45 program.
I'm so excited about that too. How do you mind digging into that a little bit and how you came up with the idea and why you wanted to do that?
Sure. So actually people have been telling me that I needed to launch this for like the past two years. And it just was such an undertaking that it took me 2 years to actually say, okay, oh my God, all right, I'm actually going to do this. Like we're just going to move forward. Again, moving forward, you don't know what's the right move, but just move forward. And, my web designer and I had been talking about it all summer, and we were running into issues with how to logistically make it happen. At one point, we scrapped the whole project and just said, you know, it's not going to work. Let's abandon ship on this. But we just kind of retreated. We talked to some people and eventually came up with a system to sell, to basically be a platform for discovery. And to have 20 brands be on that platform, all, again, sustainable and ethical fashion brands that have launched through Factory 45. And yeah, we'll see what happens. It's a test. I'm really excited about the 20 brands that we're launching with, and hopefully we'll add more in 2019.
I love that. Yeah, I'm so excited. And I'm definitely going to link all the information to that in the show notes for everybody too. But until then, where can people find you on social media?
Instagram is where I hang out on social media. It's at Factory45CO.
And then we ran into some recording issues, and that was all that was recorded. You guys, thank you so much for bearing with me as I adjust to my new home and recording capabilities. But Shannon, didn't she give you a lot to think about? I love how she spoke about always moving forward, because we won't ever know if it's the absolute right thing. This is something I struggle with so much, but I'm definitely getting better at. And inspiring conversations like this one are just the tools I need to keep getting better. I hope you found as much value in this episode as I did. If so, pretty please pop onto iTunes and leave us a review. And until next time, keep showing up as you are for a life that is simply lived in.
Thanks for listening to the Simply Lived In podcast. Dive into show notes for this episode and all past episodes at simplylivedinpodcast.com. If you love the show, please share with your friends. Help us to spread the power of simplicity. Thanks for listening, and until next time, keep up your quest for less.